From our side, we are not just an investor. We don't just invest, but we also provide the acceleration program or the support. After the investment, we include the company, the founder, into our acceleration program. In that program, we offer extensive support in four major topics, starting from product design, technical support, community building, and fundraising and listing advisory. So during this whole curriculum, we try to equip them with as much Web3 knowledge as possible.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Equity Merchants podcast. So today I'm doing something a little bit different. Instead of recording from my room or wherever I am in the world, I am recording from the TechPoint Africa studio. And today I have with me Vincent Lee. And Vincent is the founding partner of Adava. So, hi, Vincent. Welcome to Equity Merchants.
Hi, Jim. Hello, everyone. I'm Vincent. Very happy to be here. Very happy to have me in the podcast. Maybe I can give a very short introduction of myself.
Yeah.
I started my career back in China 15 years ago as a product manager. So I did all kinds of products starting from Web 1.0, starting from the media side, and then the mobile, the web, and the application all the way along. And after several years, I started the investment. So I did overseas investment in Silicon Valley, India, Southeast Asia, and parts of Latin America since 2015. And at the same time, I also started my own startup called Qutoutiao, which is a Chinese news aggregator targeting lower-tier cities in China. And it went viral, and we just spent 2.5 years from zero to getting listed in NASDAQ in 2018. And after that, I decided to all in emerging market. At that time, I joined Transsion Holding and started working in Africa. So I established the Future Hub, the seed fund and incubator backed by Transsion Holdings in 2019, and officially started my career in Africa, especially in Nigeria. I did a couple of investment since then, and also a couple of venture buildings. And then back in 2021, I think it's just 2 years ago, I started a bunch of Web3 venture buildings and also the investment and accelerator Adverse. So right now I'm the founding partner of Adverse and co-founder of Future Hub and also co-founder of two other startups, Vibra and Cassava Network. But today I think the more relevant topic is Adverse. Yeah, that's it.
Okay, so what got you started with Web3 investing?
Yeah, it's a very good question. Because as I mentioned from my previous experience, I just see the involvement of all this kind of technology from Web 1.0 and then Web 2.0 and then Web 3.0, right? So to me, it's just like a natural involvement of the technology, of the web technology. So that is one. And the second is that I see more space for Web 3 to disrupt in emerging markets like Africa, right? Because there are so many new opportunities, so many places that we can leverage the Web3 technology. So that is why I choose to start Web3 related investment and also the venture building.
Okay. So my next question would be, what's your Web3 thesis? So usually VCs have like a thesis that guides them. So either they are investing in fintech startups, or they're investing in climate tech startups, or they're just investing in pre-seed startups. So everyone has like something that guides them. So for you, what guides your investments in Web3 startups in Africa?
Yeah, typically from Adverse point of view, we really like the companies in Africa who can solve the real world problems, leveraging the power of blockchain and Web3. If you see from a global point of view, for sure we see most of the startups or companies from United States, from Asia, they're pretty like a crypto native companies, right? For example, they're building layer one, they're building blockchain itself, they're building layer two, the scale ups, they're building different applications on chain. For example, they're building DeFi related things like DeFi lending, DeFi exchange. So it's nothing to do with like a real world, if I may say, right? But on the contrary, if you look at companies here in Africa, actually quite a few founders try to solve the real-world problems using the blockchain. For example, we invested House Africa from Nigeria. So what they do is that they try to use blockchain to verify the land parcel, right? It's a very interesting thing that they do. It's a great solution they offer to the buyers and also to the developers to build the trust and solve the trust issue. So that is generally the thesis of AdWords. So we try to back the founders who can really solve the real world issue.
Okay, so considering you try to back founders who solve real world issues, what are specific use cases? So you've been in Africa for a bit, so you probably have a better understanding compared to where you first came. So what are specific use cases for Web3 that you can see, especially now when it looks like the hype around Web3 seems to have died down? So what are use cases that you still see that strengthen your decision to continue backing companies in the space?
Yeah, so it's a very good question. And before answering that, I'd like to clarify several concepts, right?
Okay.
So firstly, we have blockchain, right? Mm-hmm. And then we have maybe tokens or cryptocurrencies.
Yeah.
And thirdly, we have Web3 and the ownership of your own digital assets. So first, when we talk about blockchain, so it's just a blockchain, right? It's just a ledger where people just keep the transaction history. So you see all the major blockchain, Ethereum, Polygon, Binance Smart Chain. So it's blockchain itself, right? So it's nothing to do with the tokens or with the cryptocurrency. So with the blockchain, we can already do a lot of things. As I mentioned, we use blockchain to store the data, to verify the data. So in this case study, we have House Africa, as I mentioned. We also invested Checkit, which is also a Nigerian company who is dealing with counterfeit issue here, right? Also using the blockchain. So it's nothing to do with tokens, cryptocurrencies, crypto exchanges, those kind of stuff. It's purely technology, right? So that is one thing. And when we talk about second part, the cryptocurrency, actually, I see quite a lot of people here, they think blockchain is cryptocurrency, right? For example, they see Bitcoin is blockchain. They see USDT is blockchain. But actually, it's just the tokens or it's just a cryptocurrency based on the blockchain. So that is the hype we see. And also all the crashes we see, let's say that the Luna crash, the FTX crash, right? And if you look at our portfolio, we did some investment related to fintech or crypto exchange, right? For example, we invested in BitMama. So they're solving the payment issue right here. But you also see much more portfolio companies, they use blockchain to solve the real world problem, as I mentioned. Then the third thing is the Web3, right? So based on the blockchain, you have the tokens, and the tokens is more like a gas to the car, right? And then when the token value is widely accepted by a bunch of people, so we call it consensus, right? So based on the consensus, we see the tokens as a cryptocurrency, the form of currency, which has value, right? And then we can see that Web3 concept is all about people owning their own digital assets, or owning their own value, right? Instead of giving all the data and all the store value to a very centralized platform, right? So for the Web3 part, we also have a couple of investment deals. For example, the Talksay. So what they do is that they provide a kind of online audio chat room for Hausa people, right? To provide a platform for them to exchange their thoughts, exchange their ideas, or exchange maybe just fun things, right? And they use blockchain and the Web3 technology to issue their own native token as the digital currency inside the ecosystem, where people can just hold and own their own digital assets, right? This is like a typical use case for Web3. For the moment, I think apart from the hype, we still see a lot of good founders They're using blockchain to solve issues as the first case. They also leverage the spirit of Web3 to bring that ownership back to the users as the third use case. So those are things we're focusing on right now.
Okay, so to a very large extent, Web3, blockchain, cryptocurrencies, they're still very alien concepts to a lot of Nigerians. So yes, it's true that a lot of people in Nigeria or in Africa generally use cryptocurrencies or they are aware of what the blockchain is. But for a very large number of people, it's still foreign, which means if I don't understand what your technology works in, or at least I don't have an idea of how it works, I would be less receptive to using a solution that is built with this. So how do you help your portfolio companies to bridge that education gap or bridge that acceptance gap?
Yeah, it's a very good question. So let me start with the whole history of blockchain, right? So it all started with the emergence of Bitcoin back in 2018, right? Bitcoin emerged from a financial crisis where like the dollar is highly criticized about stealing all the value from people, right? And that's the birth of blockchain. So at that time, I would call it the first circle, right? The first circle is all about blockchain. All about Bitcoin, sorry. Yeah. All about Bitcoin and the related Bitcoin blockchain, right? Nothing else. And then the second circle is around, sorry, it's 2008, right? So from 2008, Bitcoin was known by people, 2008. So at that time, the first circle is all about Bitcoin, right? So people use Bitcoin to transfer money. People use Bitcoin to store value from 2008. So that is all about the first circle. And the second circle is around, it's around 2015 to 18. So it's a second hype, right? So during that hype, people got to know about ICO, right? So it's all about raising money from end users. And still, we didn't really have any concrete product yet. And then the third circle is starting from like a 2019, 2020, 2021. So the third hype, we started to see the product, right? We see the smart contract-based product. We see the decentralized app. We see the DeFi, right? So only within the third circle, we started to see the real product solutions. So I would say blockchain Web3 is still very young. So it's no wonder that only, you know, digital savvy understand everything, right? But the thing is that if you look at the whole history, it is evolving, right? So maybe the fourth circle, maybe starting from next year, we see more and more very concrete product already solving the real world problems, right? And then everyday people got to know the real use case of certain blockchain. So that is what Adverse is doing right now. So before that circle, we already started to back to invest in those founders who can really connect the power of blockchain to the everyday problem to solve it. Yeah. And then only through that, we can make like everyday users understand the use case of blockchain.
Yeah. Okay. Building on that, we have unclear regulations around Web3, around the blockchain in most countries in Africa, and you're backing startups who are building in these markets. How do you help them navigate these regulatory challenges, which are somewhat unique and quite different from regular regulatory challenges that other startups go through?
Yeah, it's also a very good question because we see this challenge from many places, right? From the United States, from China, from different countries, for sure also in Africa. And let me just start with the three elements, right? The blockchain, the cryptocurrency, and the Web3. Okay. We see a lot of bad things happening, typically around cryptocurrency. And also you see most of the regulations from different countries also focusing on the cryptocurrency. So in Nigeria, it's the same thing, right? I noticed that we just have the regulation of blockchain like several weeks ago, but from my personal angle, it's still a regulation of the cryptocurrency. It's regulation of money, right? But if you look at two other concepts, right? So let's say the blockchain itself and the usage of the blockchain, right? We see quite a few great companies doing great things without integrating any like a cryptocurrency or without receiving any money from the end user. I mentioned House Africa, I mentioned Checkit and a couple of other companies. They're doing well, and I don't really see any regulative risk for them.
Mm.
And another concept is the Web3 itself. So Web3, if you look at the spirit, they just try to give the ownership back to user. So let's say the example of Toxay. So whatever they earn from the platform belongs to themselves.
Okay.
So for sure, the platform will take a split of revenue. But by and large, it's the user who owns the digital assets. So as long as we have a very clear border on this, we don't really make use of all the deposit of users. We don't really tap the red line of like money-related bad behaviors. I think that the companies are fine. They can do their business. Yeah. But if it is highly related to financial product or fintech product, then my suggestion is that the founders need to be working with the government very closely to make themselves as compliant as possible. Yeah, so that's my recommendation. Yeah.
Okay, so you've been investing in Africa for about 3 years. What are some of the lessons you've learned in that period?
Yeah, it's also a very good question. I would say two things. So the first is that we need to be patient because investment itself is an activity highly dependent on the circle, right? The macro environment, the capital market, and everything, right? It's not a short-term thing like a crypto trading, right? So we need to have a long-term persistence and a long-term commitment to support our portfolio companies in the long run. For example, 3 years, 5 years, 7 years, right? And we need to have that conviction. So that is one thing, right? The other is that compared with the capital, I feel that we should offer more experience, knowledge, mentorship, and support, right? I see those things are much more valuable than just giving money and then sleep, right? Because here, the thing is that Africa is really an interesting market, right? In fact, any market has their own uniqueness. And here, for sure, we have experience from different other parts, right? From the United States, from China, from different parts. But it's good to share the information, share the experience to the founders and let them decide which can be referred and which is more valuable to their business model. And so from AdWords side, we are not just an investor, right? So we don't just invest, but we also provide the acceleration program or the support, right? After the investment, we include the company, the founder, into our accelerations program. In that program, we offer extensive support in four major topics, starting from product design, technical support, community building, and fundraising and listing advisory, right? So during this whole curriculum, we try to equip them with as much Web3 knowledge as possible, right? This is very necessary because now we see many great founders here in Africa who know how to hire a team, how to build a team, how to build a product, how to build a business model. Quite a lot of them don't really have the Web3 knowledge yet, although they're very keen to learn from others. So when we provide this kind of acceleration support to them, it's very highly complementary to their own skill set. In the world, I see the support, the mentorship, and the knowledge sharing is much more valuable than just giving money. And also, I hope that all the other investors can think in the same way and to offer more than just the capital. Yeah.
Okay, so how long does the accelerator last?
A typical cohort lasts 3 months. So during the 3 months, we slice it in different phases, basically three phases, right? So the one-on-one diagnostic with our internal advisors and experts. And then the second phase, we match them with the relevant experts outside, the external expert, so that they can have mentorship sessions. And the third phase is more like a public open workshops and also demo days for them to present themselves. Yes, so those are the three phases.
Okay. Earlier you mentioned that every market has its unique nuances that affects how people can do business in it. How are you able to work with partners to ensure that your portfolio companies in Africa have the benefit of your global experience in Web3, but also have the benefits of on-the-ground experience from people who have done business in Africa and know how things work?
Yeah, I can think of two major angles. So the first angle is within our portfolio company,
okay. They
can already learn from each other, right?
Okay.
For example, a founder of Checkit can learn how founder of House Africa leverage blockchain technology in their product. So they can have the internal communication based on the platform we offer as the acceleration program, right? So that is one thing. And the other is that we also help them to expand to other markets. Right. For example, Checkit is doing very well in Nigeria already. Right. So they offer the anti-counterfeit solutions based on blockchain using the sticker labels and also the QR code. But this kind of solution can be applied to many other markets. Right. We just help them to expand to other markets like Saudi and help them to get more business clients from outside Africa. So that is another angle. In a word, we just try our best to provide support as much as we can. Yeah.
Okay. When you are about to invest in a startup, you've mentioned that you look out for people who are solving real world issues. What are the other factors that you look out for when you decide to invest in a startup?
Apart from the major thesis, we also have criteria on the founder itself. So we welcome founder who has been working in the same area with some relevant experience. And we also see the stage of their product or their company. We prefer to invest at the stage of a post MVP, which means they at least have a workable product with some early stage tractions. For example, like a couple of clients or maybe hundreds of users, so that we can easily evaluate the proof of concept, right? And the third thing is for sure their openness to the new technology, especially blockchain and Web3. Yeah.
All right. The last question would be, you invest in an emerging market. So unlike other investors who they're investing in, like, what I call it, more established sectors of the economy. So for example, if I'm investing in fintech, which everybody does, it's a more established market, so it's easier to understand what fintech is. And this is by the nature of what they do, they are expecting exits. But for Web3 companies, it's a little bit harder, especially in Africa. So how do you prepare for that on your part and also with the founder?
Yeah, it's a very good question, because as an investor, at the end of the day, we also need to see the return, right? But as I mentioned, the two lessons I learned here, one is persistence and the other is the offering more support. I think we just need to respect that two factors, right? So one thing is that we have a very long-term vision in Africa, in the whole market. We established a 100 million fund. We tend to respect the momentum of the founder of the company itself and also the market itself, right? So having a long-term vision on the continent. So that is one. And the second is that the support we're offering can also help the company grow rather than just the investment of capital. For example, the more business we can bring to the founder, the more regional expansion we can facilitate to the founder, the quicker the company can grow, right? And then we can expect more potential return.
Okay, I think with that, we come to the end. Thank you so much, Vincent, for coming around.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
All right. Thank you so much, guys, for staying with us. And I'll see you in the next one.